السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, every year that I've been coming to ICNA, wallahi it gets better and better and sweeter and sweeter. And I want to say that the fact that you see us here on stage, you see a group such as myself and Ustaz Nu'man, along with Imam Siraj and Sheikh Abdul Rahman and Dr. Bukhari. I want to be very frank and clear here. Do not ever assume that we're all at the same level. No, not at all. Because you see, it was people like Imam Siraj Wahaj, whom I grew up listening to as a kid in Houston, Texas. It was people like Imam Siraj Wahaj who inspired me, who became my role models. It was people like him. I was just like you, coming to the lectures excited, all bubbled up. It was people like Imam Siraj Wahaj who inspired me to be a better Muslim. And now that I'm here on stage next to him, wallahi, I'm ashamed that someone like myself could be sitting next to this star and this Imam and this Sheikh and this Da'i. And this is the fact of the matter. Imam Siraj is a living legend. And I say this as somebody who has been influenced by him. Imam Siraj is a guide for someone like me. And now that I'm sitting next to him, I have to point out, it's not fair, it's not right, it's not appropriate. I shouldn't deserve to sit next to this legend. But subhanallah, subhanallah, what can we say? At the same time, the fact that we are traversing, and this is something that's not just coming from me. I asked Ustaz Nu'man as well if he would allow me to mention his name. And he said, of course, Imam Siraj, of course, the both of us, we grew up taking him as our leader and role model. So like he began his lecture, I too began my lecture that put everybody in the place that they deserve. Now, the topic that has been assigned to me is a topic that I've already been stopped and questioned about, quizzed. At least four or five people have stopped me here in the hallways and they pointed out the title of the lecture and they raised an inquisitive eyebrow. Is this the talk that you're going to give, Sheikh? Is this what they assigned you? A proud, patriotic, Sharia-practicing American. I said, yes, that's my topic. And they just stopped because they couldn't believe I'd be talking. The title is problematic no matter which phrase you look at. Proud? I thought being proud was haram. You're not allowed to be proud. Whoever has an atom's weight of pride will not enter Jannah. Patriotic? Isn't that like kufr or shirk or bid'ah to be patriotic? Sharia practicing, alhamdulillah, would raise no eyebrows in this audience. However, amongst the right wing, we all know what would happen when we say we're Sharia practicing. And then even the phrase American. It is true that there's still this stigma, there's still among some of us this hesitancy, this reluctance to mention the word American Muslim, or you're a Muslim American. And yet I stand by each and every word. Let me explain. Apart from the Sharia practicing, alhamdulillah, the previous speakers have done a great job of doing that, and I don't need to talk about the Sharia in an audience such as this one. Let me explain. First and foremost, the word proud, pride. Many of us don't understand what it means to be proud. And that some types of pride, far from being prohibited, are in fact obligatory. And other types of pride are perfectly natural and legitimate. Because you see, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined the type of pride that is haram. He was asked, what does it mean to be proud? And he said, pride, memorize this. This is the definition that our Prophet ﷺ gave. Pride is, number one, reject the truth. Number two, to look down at people. This is the definition of pride that is haram in Islam. To reject the truth when it's presented to you and to look down at people. Feelings beyond these two emotions don't come under the prohibition. So for example, a father can be proud of his son. It's completely halal and permissible. In fact, a good father is proud of a good son. For example, a person can be proud of his own lineage as long as that pride is kept in a halal frame and mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was proud of being the grandson of Abdul Muttalib, and he said in a hadith, "Ana ibnu Abdul Muttalib, ana an-nabiyyu la kadhib." I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. I am the prophet of truth. He is taking pride in his ancestry, which is a halal manner of taking pride. You can be proud of your culture as long as you don't use it to trump other cultures. Yes, I am proud to be of Pakistani heritage. Yes, I am. And that is why I like to dress in these clothes. I like spicy biryani. Yes, I am proud of my heritage. It's a halal pride. Nothing wrong with it. And sometimes, being proud is obligatory. Sometimes you need to be proud. It is wajib to be proud and honored that Allah has guided you to Islam. It is obligatory that you feel a sense of honor, a sense of izzah, a sense of karama, a sense of pride. Alhamdulillah, Allah tells us in the Quran, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. We thank Allah who has guided us to this. And were it not for Allah, we would not be guided to this. We are humbled, we are proud, we feel a sense of joy when we are of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a type of pride that is not only permissible, it is obligatory. Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. All honor belongs to Allah and to His Messenger and to those who believe in them. So there is a sense of pride that is wajib and obligatory. So there's nothing wrong with being proud where Allah allowed you to be proud. As for the second phrase, and that is, let's get to the issue of Americanness. This one is also very touchy. And the fact of the matter is, there is still some bit of stigma attached to this phrase, especially amongst our elders who have left their lands and have come to America. And there's no doubt that somebody who has been raised in a particular land will have a type of attachment to that land. And it's not easy to let go of that attachment. My own parents, they immigrated to America in 1963, my father came here. And there's no question that he still identifies more with Pakistan than he does with America. It's natural. But people need to understand that I am not my father, and I didn't have the upbringing of my father. I remember I gave a lecture a few years ago where I talked about this American Islamic identity. And there was an uncle in the audience who knew me since I was a kid. And so after the lecture, he comes up to me and he basically confronts me in a very polite manner, joking manner, but still, he blocks my way of going out of the masjid. And he looks at me, that disapproving look that only uncles are allowed to give, right? You know which ones I'm talking about, the younger people here. Only uncles have this disapproving look, and he's known me since I was a kid. And he tells me, "Tum to apne aap ko bade American samajhte ho? You really think you're all this hotshot American?" And then he says, "I'm warning you that don't go down this path. Don't consider yourself to be an American. Tum to bahut American ban gaye ho," right? This is the phrase that they say. You think you're really this American. If the government wanted to, they could strip away your citizenship any second. They could take away your citizenship and you wouldn't be American anymore. If the Patriot Act, if this, there's that, and then all of this parishani that uncles have for the second generation, it's coming out. Now, firstly, I was born here, so the government can't really take my citizenship away per se. That would be quite unconstitutional. But secondly, more importantly, this uncle made the standard mistake of confusing a passport with an affiliation, of confusing a piece of paper with a frame of mind and a culture. Because you see, the matter is that I and everybody of the second and third generation and fourth generation of immigrant Muslims, we were born here and this is our land. I have been raised in this culture. I have imbibed this environment, the thought process, the language, the education. When you tell me to go home, I think of Houston, Texas. That's my home. I don't think of Karachi, Pakistan, because my home is where I was born. And there's no question that I have a cultural attachment to this homeland. There's no question that I have a sense of, yes, pride for being a part of this land, for learning what I've learned, for having grown up here. Being an American doesn't mean that I support every single vice found in this land. It doesn't mean that I have to go dating or go to the prom. It doesn't mean that I have to support the government in every legislation. It doesn't mean I have to support foreign policies. SubhanAllah, if disagreeing with the government were a sign of being un-American, then the single most un-American movement in this country would be the Tea Party. Because for the Tea Party, the government can do no good. Everything the government done is evil. So if disagreeing with the government were to be un-American, well then, the very people who are accusing us of being un-American, they would be the most un-American because they're always criticizing the government. And we need to realize that the Sharia has allowed us to have affiliations. Now you see, the concept of a country, the concept of a nation state, this is relatively new in the history of humanity. It's only around 200 years old since the time of the French Revolution. Before this time, people were loyal to their tribes or to the ruling families, not to geographic lands. So when Allah revealed the Quran, there were no nation states. There were tribes. And what does Allah say about tribes? You all know the verse. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We have created you, we have made you to be tribes and to be sub-tribes so that you may have differences, you can recognize one another. There's a little bit of variety. Variety is the spice of life. Now we don't have tribes anymore by and large in the world, but we do have something that replaces tribes, and that is the nation state. And so it is as if Allah is saying that we have created you into different nations so that there's some variety, there's some difference, so that you can recognize one another, so that you can have something compatible, something different. Because if everybody was exactly the same, life would be difficult. If all cuisine was exactly the same, life would be pretty boring. If everybody looked the same, SubhanAllah, how could you recognize anybody? Allah created some diversity, and that diversity is healthy. So in our times, the nation state, i.e. America, takes the place of that tribe that Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking about. And therefore, when we see that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always prided himself in being a Qurashi, in being a Hashimi, in being the son of Abdul Muttalib, we can extrapolate from this. There is nothing wrong with having an allegiance, attachment, a sense of pride, yes, in the nation that you have been born and raised in, as long as that pride is kept in check. And that is exactly what I am intending to talk about in this lecture. And I want to stress this point, brothers and sisters, that there's nothing wrong with the term American Muslim. I am an American Muslim. Whether my uncle likes it or not, whether somebody appreciates this or not, this is my heritage. For me, brothers and sisters, for me, home is not where my grandfather came from. It is where my grandchildren are going to be buried. And for me, this land is my home. And no matter where you consider your home, if you immigrated here, believe you me, I speak as a person of the second generation. Believe you me, we have made up our minds that this is our land. And the quicker we embrace it, the faster we can move on to building real infrastructure, to helping the real concerns of our communities. This is now our land. And once we've come to that conclusion, we now move on to the fact that, well then, how about the concept of patriotism? We understand that you can be American and you can be Muslim. How about the concept of patriotism? Is this something that is permissible? Well, it depends on how you define patriotism. It depends on what you mean by these terms. For me, patriotism is to have a sense of loyalty to my country and to want good for my country. And the first time that nationalism and patriotism were introduced, around 150 years ago, many of the scholars found this concept alien. They found it strange. They found it a little bit racist. What do you mean one nation is better than another? Allah has created all nations equally. However, some scholars disagreed. And I came across a very interesting fatwa from a scholar who I think was way ahead of his time. A great scholar who lived 100 years ago. Some of you have heard of his name. His name is Sheikh Rashid Rida. Sheikh Rashid Rida, who was a type of mujaddid, a type of thinker, a great scholar in Egypt. And he was a man way ahead of his times. There was a fatwa that was asked by the people of Indonesia. This is in 1916, 1917. The people of Indonesia sent him a fatwa. They asked him a question. And they said, "Oh dear Sheikh Rashid Rida, we here in Indonesia are battling against the colonial powers who have usurped our lands. The British have come and have taken over. We want freedom. We want independence. And we have movements that are uniting Christians and Muslims and animists, all of them in the name of Indonesia, in the name of a nation called Indonesia, not in the name of religion, not in the name of ummah. Can we join a nationalistic movement for our freedom?" Now Sheikh Rashid Rida, as I said, he was a man, I think, ahead of his time. And he gave a beautiful fatwa, which is still available. And it is translated to English as well in some books. And in this fatwa, he said that the concept of patriotism and nationalism is a new concept. So we need to understand it, we need to define it, and accept the positive elements, and then speak out against the negative elements. If patriotism is used to spread the truth, to bring about good, to bring about freedom, then alhamdulillah, this is good, because Allah says, help one another in good and in piety. But if patriotism is used for repression, if patriotism is used as a race card, you're not from my race, I'm not going to help you, then no, our religion will never allow it. So elements of patriotism are good, and elements have to be corrected. And therefore, if we define patriotism to mean bringing about good for this nation, then wallahi, every Muslim should be the essence of a patriot. Because every Muslim wants the best for this land. Every Muslim wants Allah's blessings to descend down, wants security, wants peace, wants freedom. And therefore, not only is it legitimate, it is obligatory for every Muslim to be a patriotic Muslim in whatever land he lives in, once we've defined patriotism in the proper manner. Now, this then tells us and shows us, Sheikh Rashid Rida's fatwa in particular, that being patriotic is in fact something our religion would encourage as long as it is done in the proper manner. And I have no qualms using this word when I describe myself. Yes, wallahi, I have a sense of pride in this land. Subhanallah, allow me to be very frank here, brothers and sisters. Last week, one of the most powerful men on earth, the president of the International Monetary Fund, last week, it is alleged that he attempted to rape a lady. Perhaps many of you don't know this, but the lady was in fact a muhajjiba, a Muslima from an African nation. She was an immigrant. She was an immigrant, single mother. Her husband had died, and she was struggling to make ends meet. She's a muhajjiba, West African immigrant with very little English. She's only been here a few years. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I have to be honest here. What other country on earth, what other nation, what other society would have listened to a helpless immigrant who can barely speak English, who's a Muslima, who's a muhajjiba, she's a minority within a minority within a minority, and use her accusation to jail one of the most powerful men on earth and to make sure that he's not allowed to leave, to stop the plane and to take him out of the first class in handcuffs and take him to New York jail? Brothers and sisters, forget Europe. Let me be honest here. What Muslim land would have allowed a prince or a dictator or a president to be treated the way that this man was treated? And this shows us that this land, despite all of its flaws, and yes, there are many flaws, despite all of its vices, and yes, there are many vices, the truth of the matter is that the reason why this the most powerful on earth is because it does have a system, it does have a value, it honors the oppressed in many ways. And yes, there are things that need to be corrected as well. The fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, The fact of the matter is that we have in our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the perfect role model. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in Mecca as an Arab, as a Qurashi, as a Hashimi. He lived at a certain time, at a certain place, in a specific society and a unique culture. He was surrounded by immorality, by vice, by sin. You know, we talk about the nudity over here and we say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Brothers and sisters, our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived at a time when people did tawaf around the Kaaba naked. We talk about fahisha over here. Well, how about our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? People were involved in usury and interest and all haram. People were involved in murder and rape and everything. What did our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Living in a society that had its evil, that had its corruptions, did he cut off from society? Did he stop mixing with them? Did he scowl in their faces and say, I don't care about any of you, you're all kuffar, you're going to hell anyway? Was that his attitude? Or did he choose to remain in that society? Did he choose to be a part of that society, to better that society? Brothers and sisters, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surrounded by darkness, he did not run away to try to find a light. He became a light, and he became the nur, and he became the siraj in his own society, for his own people, for the people of his time and place. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this is our message and this is our role model. Our job in this world, what Allah created us to do, is to be a part of our society, to be a part of our people, to be a part of our culture. And we preach to them the truth and we preach to them the reality of this religion. And we tell those amongst us, our fellow Americans, who are scared of the Sharia, we tell them, to our fellow Americans who are trying to legislate bans against the Sharia, oh dear Americans who are so scared of the Sharia, it is this Sharia that you want to ban that is commanding me to be honest and just. This Sharia that you want to ban that tells me to respond to your bigotry and your hatred and your Islamophobia with mercy and compassion. It is this Sharia that you want to ban that commands me to be a law-abiding, patriotic citizen. Are you sure you want to ban this Sharia? In conclusion, regardless of what others want to do, regardless of the fear, the hatred, the xenophobia, the Islamophobia around us, we as Muslims, as American Muslims, as proud and patriotic American Muslims, we will continue to stand up for the truth. We will continue to preach the haqq. We will continue to demand justice. We will continue to defend the oppressed. We will continue to stand up for the weak. We will continue to live moral lives. And we will continue to be God-fearing citizens of the land that we have lived in. This is what our Lord requires of us. This is what our religion asks of us. This is what our Sharia demands of us. And this is what we will continue to do, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, until the day that we meet our Lord. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.